folks. Welcome to the Seven Figure Network podcast. My name is Melford Bibbins, and today I'm joined by Laura Carafino, and I'm so excited to have Laura on. It's funny. Laura and I were just talking before this. We've actually had to take a couple of weeks to get together because illness on both sides. The world is such a wacky place right now, and one of the topics we talked about was, what do you do when you lose your voice? How do you run this industry when you can't speak? When, you know, everybody's been going through so many health issues lately that at some point or another, we're going to talk about that. And how do you actually build a business when your voice goes away on you? But Laura, first and foremost, thanks so much for being on. I really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited about this.
That's great. Thanks. I'm excited to have you. So do me a favor. I want to know what actually drove you into this industry in the first place. Like, what was day one for you?
Wow. Well, that's a good question. I kind of found this industry kind of by chance. I think that's probably how most of us kind of find it. But my background is working within the government, the federal government, Department of Defense, specifically more in developmental research and in the intelligence field. Was my last career. I was in the intelligence field. At the Pentagon for several years. And I ended up marrying a Marine, and he is a pilot in the Marine Corps, and he ended up getting his first duty station was out in California. My job at the Pentagon obviously did not transfer. So I ended up trying to find a job that was even kind of comparable, but there wasn't anything unless I wanted a 2.5 hour commute, and that just wasn't feasible. We had 3 small children at the time, and so it just made sense for me to stay home. And one day I ended up taking the kids to go get their hair cut, and on the table while I was waiting was a catalog. And in this cat, it was a jewelry catalog, and I just loved every piece in it. And I'm like, oh gosh, I can't afford that anymore. We're on limited income. Oh. And I just happened to flip it over, and it said it was a work from home opportunity. And I was like, wait, what? And then it was like, I don't know, $120 or something at the time. And it had all the pieces I wanted. I'm like, might as well, I can afford that. Right. You know, check this out. So I immediately like went home and signed up, and the poor consultant like emailed me immediately and was like, oh my goodness, how did you find my information? I'm like, well, I found it at the shop. And she was like, it really works. I'm like, apparently. So that kind of started my journey into this industry. And I mean, I went with it, and I found it as a means to make extra money to, you know, for a little bit of a date night for my husband and I, or little activities that the kids wanted to be in, pay some groceries. Eventually it was paying car payments, and the rest is history.
It's so great. I'm so glad you told that story. And I'll be honest with you, you put the ball in the tee for me, because Seven Figure Network revolves around enrolling businesses to in turn get a massive number of customers. Like it's almost like you and I talked about this before the interview. Like, okay, Laura, tell them that you signed up through a business. It's so funny. Cause you know that a lot of folks don't do that, you know, more often than not. I mean, 90% of the time it's somebody, you know, it's a suggestion, you know, but to actually walk into a business, see something there that's going to both make money for the business and for the consultant to put it there. That's awesome. So I'm so thankful to hear that the system actually works even when you're not working the system. So it's great to know that. So having that start where you just got your kit and it was a bunch of beautiful stuff you loved, what was the next evolution? I mean, you know, you got a bunch of stuff you wanted to wear, was beautiful to you. What turned that into a business model? I mean, you really just started to serve yourself, and next thing you know, you're crushing it. Can you give us like a little snapshot? And granted, it's not going to go from like 0 to 1 million, but can you give us at least the first couple of steps where you went from, oh my God, I love this box of jewelry, to wow, so does everybody else. Like, what was that transition point for you?
It was actually challenging because I worked with majority men.
Yes.
And now I'm in a very girly, feminine, I should say, more feminine business model. And I have never owned a business in my life. Like, I didn't know what in the world I was doing. And I'm like, okay, now what? And so they started giving me a ton of information from my upline. And I never had really heard of this industry before that. I mean, I'd heard about Mary Kay and Avon back in the day, but I had never really thought more into it. I was always, you know, raised, you go and work, you work 9 to 5, you work hard, and that's it. And so this was like mind blowing. So I started diving in, figuring out stuff, and trying to figure out how to get out of my comfort zones, because that was it's a hard turn for me, going from working with men to working with majority women. And so that took some time in adjusting for me. And once, you know, I did also do things wrong too. I spammed everybody. I emailed everyone that I had on my email list that I shouldn't have done, but you know, trial and error, fail forward. Right. And, the biggest thing is what helped me is my upline was just like, you know, personal development, you need to do this. And I started plugging into like everything the company offered for training, and then also listening to the upper leader stories. I'm like, if they can do that, why can't I? And then I started digging in, and the internet started coming around, and I started searching other people's stories, and I'm like, how are they making thousands and millions doing this? And so that just kind of took me down the rabbit hole, and yeah, here we are.
I love it. Hey, you said two things that I really want to just touch on real quick. And first and foremost was that you messed up in the beginning. You know, you mailed everybody, but you didn't die. That's what I want people to understand is, you know, make mistakes. Trial and error is not, you only learn by making mistakes. You learn who not to talk to, how to talk to people. So it's, I love the fact that it didn't kick you out of the industry. It didn't make you, you know, scream and cry and do everything else. And it certainly made you pivot to figure out a better way. So the trial and error thing, I need more people to understand that making mistakes is not going to ruin your business. It's going to make you learn how to be a better business owner in the first place. So that was one point you made that was amazing. Go ahead, please.
No, yeah. You know, when that happened, when people did write like, hey, remove me from your list. I mean, yes, it affects you. You're like, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm learning. And, you know, that trial and error really helped me figure out how to do this properly, because I too don't like being spammed, you know. It took those friends unsubscribing from my newsletters and to really make me pivot. So
good for you. I so appreciate you saying that. And another point you made that I would really like you to go into a little bit more, because especially now, you know, we're seeing more transitioning professionals. You know, we're seeing more people who've never been in network marketing before, but have had a lot of jobs in the past, move into network marketing. So for folks that have worked mostly with men and then had to transition to working mostly with women, can you give 1, 2, 3, however many tips you want for how you made that transition as profitable and comfortable as possible?
That's a good one.
See, that's why I listen, because that brings up the good questions.
So I dove into like the personality tests and how to work with different personalities. I can't think of, my mind's blank right now, a couple of the good books. There's a couple of books out there that were really like DISC personality tests. You know, I started diving into those and really understanding the different personality types out there and how to interact with them. And like realizing that people's love languages are very different. And, you know, some people respond better with praises. Some people respond better with gifts or just acknowledgments. So just finding out how those individuals, what works for them and what sets them on fire to get them excited about the business is really what helps me. And also keeping things like this is professional. However, I'm also building relationships too. So as long as I keep everything really professional, it does really well. It's worked for me.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Because again, I know people are going to run into this. They're going to be coming from a much more masculine environment, excuse me, and then they're going to be neck deep in a feminine environment, and it's going to be a massive transition that you really just need to just plot your way through. So you mentioned earlier that, you know, the internet was kind of a change in the way you recruited. Let's talk about today, because obviously, you know, everything that was happening 5 years ago is different. Everything that was happening 10 years ago is completely different. But as of right now, how are you building your team this minute? What is your recruitment strategy as of today?
Right now it's social media. I mean, like, I do some in person, but it is majority on social media. It, you know, social media with the 15-second videos are huge now. Reels. I have several of my reels that have went viral. I have over 100,000 views and a few that have over that many likes. So it's learning and just getting over the fear of doing it. Done is better than perfect. So experiment, you're not going to mess it up, you know, and if you do something silly, it shows the real you, and people are attracted to the real you and not something that's fabricated just for show. So
you learned the lesson. I mean, obviously you're still learning the lesson. We all are, but you learned the lesson of how to get virality to some of your videos. Do you know, it's kind of a silly question to ask this, but do you know what was different in those videos that went totally nuts compared to the ones that just did average, compared to the ones that bombed out? Like, is there one or two or three factors that you noticed was really different about those?
Most of it on trend. It's what's on trend. Is really what it really was. And having something a little catchy. Yeah, that's what I would say. I'm trying to figure that one out still.
So when you say trend, do you mean like what's going on in the news today? Or is it what was hot on TikTok that day?
What's hot on TikTok, but it's not gotten to where it's overdone yet. Mm-hmm. So if you go look at specifically, if you go and look at followers, like new influencers that maybe don't have that big of a following, maybe 2,000-3,000 people, and they start doing you see them doing the same type of sound. If that sound doesn't have more than, I'd say, 50,000 views yet, I'd go ahead and do it and start doing it, because that's trending. It's showing it's up trending.
Interesting. So you're catching the wave before it actually goes. Cause it's funny. I mean, like, as soon as you said it, it's only got so many downloads. I'm like, oh, well, how do you know if it's going to trend or not? But I guess the point that it was a mini influencer, if you will, that was grabbing onto it. That's a gold nugget. Thank you for that. That was really good. So that was for TikTok. Is the same thing across the other social media platforms, or has TikTok been the real winner for you?
Facebook Reels has been really, really good for me. TikTok too. Instagram, I do have a good following there as well. But for the most part, TikTok and the Facebook stories and reels have been working really well.
Which one monetizes better? Which one have you actually got enrollments out of more so? Do you know? Do you know which ones produce more enrollments for you between the Facebook reels and the TikTok?
I would say the Facebook.
Okay. And the reason I'm asking, obviously, is because it's funny. It seems like it's two different audiences, even though they're kind of starting to morph together. You know, it's TikTok apparently now is for older folks too. Who knew?
Who knew?
No, go ahead.
No. It is. It's a great, both of them. I really like all of the platforms, but you don't have to do them all. So if somebody's not comfortable with them, find one that, you know, really resonates with you, and you can, you're comfortable with using it, and then use that until you're ready to branch into something new. You don't have to do all of them. So I know sometimes people get really overwhelmed whenever they're either starting out and trying to learn how to market their business, and they try to do everything at once. Just focus on one platform at a time.
So are you sort of plotting out all of your content over the month? Like, I know some people love to schedule everything out. Other people just love to hit that little red button and start talking. Which one has been better for you? Do you feel like you need to have a real schedule planned out, or is it better to just go on a whim and do your thing?
Well, with my crazy life, I have to have a schedule. and I have an assistant. So when you get to a certain level, you need help. So her and I will sit and plan, and we make plans for the, we have always have them at least the next 2 months planned. Wow. And we have our schedule for our recordings and all of that planned out, because if not, I have 5 kids and a husband, and it's kind of chaotic. So
yeah, makes sense.
Organized.
Yeah.
Chaotic work.
And how about, I apologize that I keep asking these questions, but like, I love giving people action steps. Like that's the reason I think we have this podcast in the first place is, yes, we want to talk about theory, but the real action steps that are working today, I think are penultimately important. So how about the split between static text to video to picture? Are you just doing all video, or are you getting leads from just static posts? What's kind of the split between that, and which one are you seeing working better?
Videos work so much more better, but I do get responses with static posts as well. So I, you know, there has been, you know, controversial where, you know, you do short forms posts or long form. I've been doing the long form, and that really speaks to my audience. Mm-hmm. Because I share a lot of my story. I went through a very scary health situation a couple of years ago during my journey. Yep. And so people follow me for that, and they want information on that. So that helps. And I tie that in with my business. So, so it's kind of a little bit of both, but the videos work a lot better.
You've got that openness about your life. I mean, it seems like that's a real cinch pin that holds us together, right? Is, you know, displaying your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the whole package, you know, really, really letting everybody in on what it is to be Laura every day, correct?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I know some people are afraid to share things online, and just coming from a security perspective, like working my background, I had to have, the highest form of like security and awareness, especially when you're online, you can still share pieces about your life without revealing everything about your life. And there's ways about doing that, but people do want to know your story. Mm-hmm. And open to share your story that could help, you know, someone else. You know, you could either change their life or even save their life, depending on what your story is. Yeah. So. And I'm all about serving others. And the reason why I share that is because I want to bring awareness to what happened to me and to help prevent it for someone else. Mm-hmm. So if you go in the mindset of serving others, you're going to do well.
You being, you're an internet security expert, given what you used to do. I mean, working for the government, nothing's got to be, you work for the DOJ, right? I mean, you like literally had to be as secure as possible. Can you give a tip or two? Because again, I mean, this is a very prevalent point. I know some people are really nervous, especially now that basically everybody in the universe is on social media and there's a lot of wacky people out there. What can you give a tip or two about how to keep secure? You know, it's like, you know, should you mention your kids' names? I mean, I obviously don't want to mention your home address or any of that kind of stuff, but like, you know, how far do you feel? And again, I honestly don't know. I'm asking this as an honest to goodness question. You know, how far can you go revealing yourself, you know, your kids, your pastimes, all this stuff, yet still feel secure that, you know, everybody's going to be safe and you don't have anything to worry about?
Unfortunately, nobody's really safe 100% online. But what I would recommend is if, you know, I personally don't show any of my children by themselves in pictures. They're always with somebody. Mm-hmm. And I also make sure that my settings on locations are turned off on pictures, and they constantly change within the app. So you want to make sure that that's always set as off, because you don't want somebody to find your geolocation from a picture. Just kind of, you know, I do say my children's names in some things, but I do make sure they're always in a picture with somebody else, not by themselves.
Really good tip about the geolocation thing. Thank you for saying that. That's a really important tip that I bet a lot of people don't know. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people don't realize you can turn that on and off. You know, because that's the thing, is a lot of people use that as a part of their post almost. Hey, I'm at the Grand, you know, hey, I'm at this restaurant. Hey, I'm at the Grand Canyon. Hey, I'm here. And they want it as part of the post. But I don't think a lot of folks realize you can just switch that off.
Right. And then I tend to do it after my trips. I don't let them know I am there, mm-hmm. because then so many other things could happen. Yeah. So I do it after the fact.
No, that's great. Thank you so much. Because that's an aspect that I don't think I've ever covered during this podcast is internet security. You know, it's like we touch upon it, but it's such a prevalent point. And, you know, especially seeing that we, you know, endlessly tell people you should be recording video. You know, you should be talking about yourself. You should be revealing everything. But then it gets to the point where you go, oh my God, you know, I got little kids. Like they're in soccer practice. Everybody's going to know that kind of stuff because you're going to show your kid playing soccer. I mean, why wouldn't you show your kid playing soccer? But now you want to make sure that the team's being showed, you know, there's other adults possibly in the picture. So that's great. Hey, so we talked about the lead gen aspect. Let's flip the coin and let's talk about retention. How are you retaining? Because I know you've got both builders and customers and you're blowing up. So there's a bajillion of them both. How are you keeping both of them engaged during this ridiculously noisy time of the internet, like this weird hybrid time of on, offline, blah, 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 blah? What are your retention strategies that you're using today?
It's finding different means of communication. So a lot of people do want to stay offline. Mm-hmm. You know, I found that there has been a transition from groups. So before we used to I used to majority run an ATM group and a personal private VIP group for my customers and my team. And so for customer contact and keeping them engaged, I keep mostly via text. Mm-hmm. They do have my social media stuff, so they do watch some of my social media stuff and keep an interaction. And email. I do communicate via email now a lot more than what I used to. And texting. Texting is really big right now, too.
Are you sending out blanket texts to the whole team? You're sending them out individually? Because, I mean, again, you've got so many people, you know, sending out individual texts would take you 400 million years.
Whereas my team, I don't do text to. I have a group for them, and then I will email my team to individual stuff. My team is quite large, so I have a lot of. I keep my close leaders, like on my one through, I guess sixth level. Like my top leaders are in a little chat, and that's how we communicate. And I will disseminate information to them because they're strong leaders. They don't need me dipping into their team spaces. I mean, everybody knows who I am, and if they need help or whatever, they can always reach out to me. But I have a main group page and the leader chats. And then we do leader retreats and stuff like that for more fun interaction and engagement. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for saying they don't need me dipping into their leaders. you know, it drives us all crazy when a leader feels like they got to reach down and messed up. You know, and worse so when they're doing well. You know, it's like if everybody's going sideways, reach down, help, you know, but if things are going well, please don't mess it up. You know, it's whether it's ego, whether it's something else, and I'm sure you've experienced it before, drives everybody crazy when a leader dips down and starts messing around with something that's actually working.
Yes. Yes, it does. It does. I've had that happen to me in the past, and I don't want anyone to feel that way. So I respect their boundaries.
Yeah. So now,
you know,
So let's talk a little bit about coaching, because again, you've had such a cool background that I think you're going to bring a very different idea and angle of coaching to your folks. So can you talk a little bit about the coaching program you're running?
I've been working with a lot has been military spouses, but I have recently opened up to more like local government and those that are trying to transition and do a business of their own. And we go through about a 6-week program and help them come up, and it's really their ideas. I'm just helping bring to fruition what they already have inside them. Mm-hmm. and set them on a clear path on how to make it come true.
Are you coaching them just on network marketing, or is it whatever business idea they have? Let's help you run with it.
Whatever business idea that they have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And both. I mean, if in network marketing, I've worked with other, I've coached my team, and then I've worked with other network marketers too within their business, mm-hmm. and helped grow. And then, but the others, it's whatever, you know, if they want to dive into network marketing, we go through that. But if they come up with another business idea, we go through that too.
Love it. What's the best way to help a military mom get started in network marketing? Because I know that there's going to be a lot of folks listening to this that live near bases, you know, may have friends that are still, you know, have either husbands or they are still active duty. You know, what are a couple things that make it a lot easier, if it ever is easier, a lot easier for a, you know what I'm saying, for a military mom to transition from, you know, living that lifestyle to now becoming a successful network marketer? What are a few of the things that you would give as tips to help that specific niche gain success in this industry?
The biggest thing for me is what I ended up doing is trying to figure out what nuggets of time I had that I could do business, and calendar blocking really helped me. I know it sounds maybe a little overwhelming, but it's really not. And if go Google what calendar blocking is, and there's plenty of trainings out there that are free, and it's not that difficult of a concept to once you get it to make it a habit. But free enough, finding those free nuggets of time to work your business. I mean, we have all of us have a smartphone, I'm sure, and that has really changed the game in being able to work from home and being someone who is transitioning from corporate to staying at home with their children. They can't, you know, really work from home. They can record, they can talk to customers, potential teammates, all on their cell phone. So yeah, that's the biggest one is time, figuring out when you can do it. And the next one is figuring out why you want to do it. And if you don't know really why, sit down and think about really what you want out of it, whether if it's monetary reward, or if it's want recognition and appreciation, or just something for yourself to build new friendships, whatever it may be, write it down, because that's going to push you and propel you when things get tough.
I love that. So I need to ask if the next steps are, you know, you got to have your time, you got to have your why, you know, you've got 5 kids. Mm-hmm. Are there any other it's funny, because I feel funny asking this question, because now we don't have to actually be in person anymore. I think that that's one of the greatest things. And that's one of the reasons why this is the greatest time in history to be a network marketer, is you can literally do it from your home. Like there's, you know, you don't need to teach house. Most people won't show up at a house party right now. A lot of people are weirded out by going to a one-on-one, like, you know, everything's been so strange. Being someone with 5 kids, how do you fit your time in when you are a top leader? So now we went from, you know, the beginning person to now a person who's running a big team, you know, might have to travel around. Do you have a trick or two for folks that have a big family that are still running this big team and got to keep moving in the right direction?
Well, if you have family and friends near you, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Yeah. If you don't and you can't afford a nanny, that's when you get to, I do have a nanny, because we have, my kids' ages and range are from 20 to 2. So we reset our retirement with our surprise bonus babies. And so that really has threw a loop for us, like threw me in a loop. So now I have a nanny and she helps me during the day, but he's still home with me. So I interact or whatnot, but definitely solicit family. The great thing is I can work this around. Like if I want to go take him to the park or play, I can do this. You know, it's easy. This industry is amazing if you give it a chance.
Are your kids going to join? You got one that's 20.
I know. Well,
it's a he. So that's a little wrench in the works right there.
Very entrepreneurial. I've got him. He's doing some sales things right now. And he's, I've been trying, I'm like, find the network company that I was like, you've seen mine, you've seen my checks, you know what this can do for you. And so he's figuring himself out. My daughter, she just went to college and she's liking the idea of it too, to pay off stuff while she's in school. So So
what a way to grow up. You know, I mean, not many kids get to grow up in a house with the level of freedom. And I, you know, I put quotes around freedom because I know you work your butt off, but you know, it's by your schedule, it's in your environment, it's doing all these things you want. You know, it's like, how many kids actually get to see somebody making the kind of money you make with the kind of freedom you make and also enjoying it? I mean, because we all know that, you know, I mean, you can grind, you can work, you know, 150, you can do the whole Gary Vee thing and, you know, work 150 hours a week and, you know, hope something good comes out of it. Or you can do it like you are. It's such a great representation to your children to realize that opportunity is there. So let's, I need your contact information because you've given us so much great stuff. How can folks reach out to you?
Oh, the best way is go to my website. It's lauracarafino.com. Or you can email me at laura@lauracarafino.com.
Beautiful. Easy peasy. Okay. So if you had to restart today, so, you know, I'll let you keep your brain so you can still have your business acumen, but no lists, no nothing other than that, you know, no knowledge of network marketing. Just, you know, you literally just swiped your credit card and got that $150 kit. What would you do today? What are the three things that you would do today to launch a successful network marketing business if it was started this minute?
Well, I would find a product I'm really passionate about that I feel like can make a difference. And then I would figure out my branding strategy and get my story down and what I'm going to share about my life and start marketing it on social media immediately.
Beautiful. Thanks for mentioning brand. Not enough people talk about the brand because that's the defining factor. And that obviously is what teaches you who you should represent. You know, who should you be talking to? In this day and age, you know, spray and pray is losing its value. You know, you can't just offer your stuff to everybody and, you know, whatever falls out. You got to serve people who have a desire for your product. That's how you grow like you did. And so few people don't understand that the brand's the cornerstone, right?
It is. And, you know, when you start, you know, marketing and you've developed, you slowly, and your brand could change over time too. But, you know, once you start developing that story, you will resonate with your ideal customer and they will be naturally attracted to you. Yeah. And that comes, it takes time. It's not an overnight. And my business success was not overnight either. It looks like it was, but it wasn't. It was 15, 20 years.
I swear to God, I was just going to joke 15 year overnight success. That was the number you threw out. It's so funny because we feel the same way. You know, everybody looks at it and you say, oh, you know, the big team, the big check. Yeah. You don't know how hard it took to get here. You haven't been sitting back here behind us when we've been doing all this work. So I love the fact that you said that. And so I would love to hear your 6-month goal.
Oh my goodness. Oh, you threw me on the spot there.
That's my job.
Well, I would definitely, my 6-month goal is to, I have a couple of things in the works right now that I'm going to be launching very soon. Have that fully launched would be phenomenal, and promote to the very next level in my company's comp plan would be fabulous. We just got a new comp plan, so I'm no longer at the top of the comp plan. So it gives me things to aspire to and reach for.
I'm glad you just mentioned that comp plan issue, because when people go, okay, you just opened up a whole new can of worms. I love it. So let's talk about that for half a second. You know, so first and foremost, how did you handle it personally? And how are you explaining this to your team that all of a sudden, you know, I've been teaching you over all these years that these are the objectives you need to hit. This is what you're going to make. And we had a really defined path. And then we just threw it in a bucket, shack it up, and then dumped it back on the table again. How did you handle the transition from being, you know, top ranked to being dropped back down again, A? And B, how are you explaining this to your folks that have been in for a little bit and are kind of, you know, freaking out over this thing?
Well, that was a doozy. And change is always scary. You know, when people don't know what it is, it's always the fear of what it could be. And, you know, once you explain the long-term goals of the company, and if you really trust and believe in the company that they're going to really set you up for success and want the best, and so that the company is set up for longevity. I mean, ideally you want longevity, right? And so you're not having to look for a new company in 2 or 3 years or 5 years or whatever. Sometimes, you know, most times companies do comp plan changes. It's not something you should look at as scary. It should be open-minded to it and really wait until everything falls into place to see how it affects you. And most of the time it's not as bad as you think it is, or bad at all. It could be really good. So have an open mind.
Muted. It's human nature to, yeah, I know, I'm a real pro at this. It's human nature to be afraid of fear of change. You know, we always, sadly enough, we're wired to always assume the worst thing's going to happen, no matter how much we meditate, no matter how much we try and get beyond it. You know, it's like, it's always that recommendation. But, you know, as you mentioned before, smartly, you know, be prepared to change your brand. You know, don't think that your brand is going to be the same forever, which it's not. I mean, if you're evolving in the company, your brand is going to evolve as well. It seems like your vision of the company in every aspect of it needs to evolve throughout time as well, huh?
Yes, it does. As times change, you know, even your company can add a new product line. Like, for instance, that's what happened with mine. They added a new product line too. So you have to reinvent yourself. You have to, it's kind of the most, I think Forbes had an article not too long ago. The most exciting time to join a company is when they have a new product launch or a new comp plan change, because it's brand new. It's new. It's exciting. It's not scary. It shouldn't be scary.
Which makes sense because they're, you know, everybody fears joining a startup for good reason. You know, a startup is scary. You don't know. But an established company that's just changed their model, that's not nearly as scary. And that's actually exciting. So I'm so glad you made that point. I have to read that article. It's really smart because it's, you know, a lot of times you hear people there, you know, once they hit a, you know, higher rank, they get approached. I mean, I'm sure you get approached constantly. We do too. You know, hey, you know, we're about to launch this new company. Why don't you join us? You know, we need new master distributors, yada, yada, blah, blah. And you always take a step back and go, unproven model. Do I really want to walk away from, you know, what I know works to what could speculatively be, you know, stock options and all this other stuff, or could be nothing in 6 months?
Correct. It is. You do get that. And it can be tempting, but however, the, you know, what has been proven and what is working, you know, I like stability, and this industry, not always that, you know, it can be kind of hard, but if you find the right company, the one that's been proven, and you join a company that's been around and proven, because this startup, it's hard. I joined, I'm not obviously with the first company I was with when I first started in this industry, and I have been with a couple of startups, and the current company I was with was a startup as well, but, it's a lot of hard work, and you have to figure out the kinks, and there's not usually customer service reps. There's usually not a lot in place to help you. There's no training. It's stuff you have to develop yourself and help with and grow with the company. And if you find a company that's been established and gone through all these growing pains already, you're going to be better set up and for success that way.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. It's cool to hear that you've actually lived that path. You've lived the path of going to startups, you know, the big stories, the big aspirations, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. But you also got to start with a startup that launched and got crazy and made you a ton of money. So that's fantastic. I love it. So, hey, Laura, thanks so much for being on today. This has been great. Like we ended up going on so many different paths that I didn't expect. And I really appreciate the internet security aspect. I know it was only a small part of our conversation, but it's something I think is just so important for people to understand. And you gave us a lot of gold nuggets today. So, Laura, thanks so much for being on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.